Well, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Battleground. If you're watching online, welcome. I wanted to just take just a couple minutes to show you a couple things that you may or may not be aware of. You should have before you sermon notes that look like this. If not, they're on the blue table in the back. Getting up and getting and moving around is not going to bother me at all. We also have two other sermon note guides that you might be interested in. One is for kids. The other is for students. The student one is new, and it helps them as they then in turn go into student ministry to keep it with them. When you ask your students what they learned, you need to have something because they don't always tell you. And so just something to make yourself available if you would like. We appreciate everybody that was a part of this morning's Baptist eating that we Baptist folk like to do. We don't need much of an excuse, but we had a good one today with membership. But now, brothers and sisters, we have gathered ourselves to hear from God this morning. When God's Word speaks, God is speaking. And so let us open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and let us remember where we have been and pray to the Lord for where we are about to go. So stand with me. I want to pick up in Matthew 5. I want to start in verse 2. We're going to go down to verse 6. Word of God, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Let's pray together. Lord, as we have gathered here today, we have not gathered here because we are worthy, but because you are worthy. We've gathered here because we have already experienced these first beatitudes. We have seen ourselves without the cross, and so have come to the cross, mourned over our sin, repented of those sins, and said, "Lord, we will follow your Son by faith." We confess this morning as one people that our righteousness is in the cross of Jesus Christ, in his very person, your Son, who came and lived a perfect life, who died as a ransom for our sins. We have placed our faith and our trust in him as our Lord and Savior to follow him. And so, God, show us how to follow. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So if the Sermon on the Mount is like sort of climbing a mountain, where are we in our little journey? We began with looking at the promises, the truth of those who flourish, and the promises of the flourishing. We saw that we start this journey with broken, humble dependence. We see ourselves first for who we are before a holy God. Looking first inward, then Godward, mourning over our sin, repenting of our sin, promised of blessings for those who do. We looked last week at meekness. Micah taught us that meekness is trusting, committing, and waiting patiently on God. Meekness is not weakness. It is to have our power under his control, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So let's put away of our minds this silly teaching that we have heard that somehow he can be your Savior to get you out of hell and cannot be the Lord that governs your life. The Gospels make no sense if that is true. He is the King, and we have aligned ourselves with the King's will. And that sets us up for this morning. Because to align yourself behind the will of God is to say, "God, lead me in righteousness." That's where we are today. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the language of the text teaches, for they and they only will be saved. will be satisfied. But what is righteousness? This is not as simple as you think it might be. For we have spent much time in Paul's letters, and we have been singing about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is one kind of righteousness. But you would do this text an error if you try to impute Paul's righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, on what they're saying in Matthew and in the Gospels. So let's talk about that for a minute. You see, there is first a legal righteousness. Let me just remind you of a text, Romans 3:21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God has been made manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to us, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The legal righteousness is to be justified. It is an act of God that takes Christ's righteousness and applies it to you. But there is a second kind of righteousness, a righteousness that is in not only all through the Old Testament, but in the Gospels as well. It is a moral and ethical righteousness that flows out of the one who is legally right before God. Listen to this, Matthew 6:1. It was actually a warning here, but you really see what this righteousness. Matthew 6:1 says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward in heaven." It is righteousness as our moral and ethical framework for life, the way we live now that we have been redeemed. This is what our text speaks of. There is another righteousness, and it's so connected to moral and ethical, but it needs to be pointed out. There is a social righteousness. It is the righteousness that when we live in a fallen, broken world and we are not okay with what we see, and we endeavor to see change. Listen to this, Amos 5:21. Notice the difference between the worship. This is about worship at the end of the day. Amos 5:21 says, "I despise your feast. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offering of your fattened animals, I will not look on them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps. I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." Until we living out our righteousness before other people in a fallen world, God says, don't come singing your songs to me. So there is a legal righteousness, our justification, but there is then now, how then shall we live? Twist of Gospels say, let me show you how to make moral decisions, how to make ethical decisions, how to change the world that you live in. One life at a time. Righteousness, you see, is seeking, savoring, and submitting oneself to God's will from a Godward posture of the heart. It is to seek God's will. It is to savor it. It is to submit yourself, not just checking off a legal checkbox, but from a posture of the heart of which the rest of the Beatitudes underline. Now I need to say something, and I say it from love, but I say it because it is a rampant problem in our society, even in this culture that we are ministering to. Some believers will never flourish because they seek, savor, and submit to the government more than God's word. Our government is rewarding people for cohabitating in sin. And because of that, Christian people say, because I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my bills, I'm just going to live together so the government will give me more. Brothers and sisters, today understand, to obey God's will cost you something, and that is true. But do you know what it costs to live outside of God's will? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I dated the girlfriends that I had when I was coming up. About the best they got when I took them out to eat. Some of you don't even remember these places. Hope you do. Quincy's. Everybody remember Quincy's? Yeah, yeah. What about them rolls, right? If the rest of the meal was bad, them rolls were good. Oh, and Western Sizzling. Yeah, sometimes you take your boyfriend or your girlfriend to the Western Sizzler or Sizzling. I don't know which was it really called. Doesn't really matter. But then I met Christina. I had been saving a place. Most of those girlfriends never got what she started with. Because the first place we went was not Quincy's or Western Sizzler. The first place we went was the Woodshed in Stanley. Ever been there? You need to save up and go there. I wasn't worried about money back then. But I started her with that. She got that filet mignon. I'm sure she probably got, what is that, tomato and onion? It's been a long time since I ate there. Could I ever take her back? The Quincy's? Come on now, have you had both of them? This is what we're teaching today. Righteousness is seeking and savoring and submitting yourself to God's will. Listen to what the psalmist has to say. I could have preached this whole text out of Psalms 119. Psalms 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Kingdom flourishing is given to believers as we seek to align ourselves with God's will, no matter the cost, and are blessed with the fullness of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the truth. We are made physically, you are, with desires and a means to fulfill them. This is the contrast from the physical to the spiritual. If you can't understand the spiritual, you understand this. We are hungry, so we what? Eat. We just got through doing that. I'm hoping you stay awake. We have food to meet that desire. We are thirsty, so we what? We drink. Drink was designed to meet that desire. We get tired, so we rest. We sleep. Sleep is meant to meet that desire. We used to have a couple of ducks, and them ducks was not happy to start with. You know what? What did them ducks need? Water. I had to go buy a pool thing from Tractor Supply because them ducks were made with a desire, and they were not going to be satisfied to the God in that water. Listen to what Augustine says. Because you have made us for yourself, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Your growth group material this morning, there's a copy of this, of a blog on this. I would ask you to read it on your way out. But just like we have physical needs and a desire to meet those needs, we are made to satisfy our spiritual needs. So what is this hunger or thirst? Well, if we have been following the sermons up to this point, he's already told you what it is. It's this humble dependent, this realization that you need something. Listen to this, Psalms 42. Go to it. We've sung a song many times that had these words in it. Psalms 42. Understanding this physical picture will help you understand what he means to say that I am spiritually hungry or spiritually thirsty. Psalms 42 says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. This is not a little happy dog that's running around your feet panting. This is a deer in the desert that's about to perish. That's the picture here. Get this little, as a deer. You know, and you think, oh, this is just, you know, just one more cup of water. No, no, he's about to die. That's the picture. Saying, how hungry are you for righteousness? How hungry are you for Christ? Listen to what, lest we doubt, that's what the psalmist means. Listen to verse 3 and 4. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Surrounded by people who hate him and hate his God. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throngs and lead them in processions to the house of God with glad shouts and praise. His soul is hungry. His soul is thirsty for something that this world cannot give him. We long for a life without panic attacks and depression or addictions. We long to have a church where it's okay to struggle and desire to be healed, to be able to come in here thirsty and not be judged because you're broken. We hunger to know how to respond to conflict, to just keep rehearsing the pain in our life over and over. We desire to have shalom in the chaos of obedience. Let me say that again. You desire to say have shalom in the chaos of obedience. What are you saying, Pastor? That me lining myself up with God's will could actually create chaos? Read verse 10. Persecution's coming. Why? Precisely because we have aligned ourselves up behind God. Yes, when you align yourself up behind God, spiritual warfare intensifies in your life. The Psalms 42 panting begins to happen, even bringing persecution. We desire victory over our suffering. We can devour completeness and wholeness, the brokenness that people have done to us. We desire it to be healed. We desire the consequences of our past sins to be gone. Is there anything wrong with wanting all of these things? No, but what Scripture is teaching us there is there is something you must hunger and thirst more than all the rest. Listen, that's what he's teaching us today. This is a simple truth that will change your life. We must desire righteousness chiefly and intensely. We must desire righteousness over experience, righteousness over healing, righteousness over the struggle in your life today, righteousness over blessing, righteousness over happiness, righteousness over peace. This is what the text is teaching us. Righteousness is seeking and savoring and submitting yourself to God's will. And that's what he's saying. Seek that first. Turn with me to Jeremiah in your Old Testament. This has always been true. God works and God does not change. God's a message here for God's exiled people. By the way, this is for a particular people at a particular time, but it teaches us about how God acts. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, you know this, but let's read the rest of the story. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, a plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen to what he says. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And listen, and then I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and place you where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place which I have sent you. Stop desiring the promised land and start seeking the Lord. So what he's saying, stop seeking just to be delivered from the exile, to take me back into my homeland and rebuild. Yes, but what's first? To experience the plans, the first is that you call upon me, that you seek to me, that you pray to me, and if you do it, I promise you, you'll find me. This is the truth. So there are some truths about seeking righteousness. We seek righteousness by seeking and savoring eternal life. This is the story of the woman at the well. It's in John 10. You don't have to go there. You know it, don't you? Let me just read what he said to her. This conversation, Jesus said in John 4:10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you what? Living water. He He's not done. Look at verse 13, or just listen. He said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give you will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him the spring of water welling up to eternal life. So even when we seek and savor eternal life, you need to understand that John 17:3 said eternal life is knowing God. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Eternal life is not simply trying to get out of hell. Eternal life is to seek more than savor, more than anything else in your life, to know him. That's what he's teaching. That's what he promised the woman at the well, and that's what he promises you this morning. We seek righteousness by seeking, then, not only to know God, to embrace eternal life, but to align our desires up with God's word. When you desire to know him, there is one thing that every Christian on this face of the earth is going to hand you. That's the Bible. Because this is how God speaks. Again, Psalms 119 describes in an intense desire of a young man. How can a young man keep his way pure? Psalms 119, verse 9. By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commands. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are the Lord, and blessed, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all your rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We seek righteousness by seeking to line ourselves up behind his word, no matter the cost. We seek righteousness by seeking to know the Lord Jesus. I'm just asking you this morning, what part of your life is just about you and Jesus? Do you have times in your life that you sing to him? Listen, I'm not a singer. That's why Micah, you know, Micah sings. I stay down there and be quiet until it's time for me to preach. But oh, I sing. We lost a dog yesterday. If y'all are dog people, you know how tough that is. And as I sat in the mud at one of our dogs, actually my son's last breaths, it still led me to Christ. Can't face anything's death, animal or people, and not face your own mortality. Tell him the desires of your heart. That's what it says. When do you do that? When can you just be honest with him about how you feel, about what you fear, about what you hope for? To allow God's word to minister to you in these moments. Listen, this is important. J.I. Packer warns us, the width of your knowledge about God is no gauge of the depth of your knowledge of God. Listen, you can teach classes, you can preach up here behind a pulpit and not know God at all. I've used this illustration before. You might know about my wife, but you don't know her. I know her. That's what that word means. It's intimacy. Listen to what Packer goes on to say. To get to know another person, you have to commit yourself to his company. You have to commit yourself to his interest. And you have to be ready to identify yourself with his concerns. If you haven't done that with Jesus, you don't know him. And he longs for you to know him. We seek righteousness by seeking to know our God, to relish in the Holy Spirit that produces in you living water to eternal life. We seek righteousness by seeking Jesus himself. We seek righteousness by seeking to be holy. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When you seek to know God, you can bet on this. When you seek to align yourself with God's will, you can bet on this. He begins to amputate things in your life that does not glorify Him. That's what He means. Listen, in other words, righteousness is your sanctification. It is God making you holy from the inside out. Could we not be expected to change the world when this happens? Absolutely. True righteousness seeks and savors and submits to God's will that's revealed in His Word, and there is a promise for this satisfaction. That's a good word. They shall be satisfied. Just listen to the prophet. I want you to try to hear the satisfaction that's coming out. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. He is being satisfied, and He is holding on to what? The promises of God. God will be glorified in the nations. And here we stand. Here we sit this morning. The nations gathered today to glorify Him. Satisfaction. We are blessed by fullness. There was so much to say here and not much time. Let me just read this text to you, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 13. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. That is fullness. God creates a hunger and thirst in your soul so that He may satisfy it with Himself. It's true. You do have a God-sized hole in your heart, and you can try to put the opposite sex in there if you want to, but they won't fit. You can try all of this stuff that the world, you can try all this stuff that the government tries to shovel at us if we want to, but it won't fit. God created you with a hunger and thirst in your soul for Him. Fullness, then, is displayed. As much as it was displayed when Christina got out of the woodshed for the first time. I told her, by the way, I asked her, I said, did you want to share dessert? You know what she said? Get your own. I was like, I'm going to marry this girl. I did, too. Listen, this morning, this is important. The promise is to the hungry and thirsty, not to the full. The promise is to you. You hungry? He's not saying you have to have it all together. He's not saying that you're supposed to stay out of church on Sunday because you're broken into pieces. He said, we ought to have a church where we can be broken and it be okay. Because what does my do? I am here because I'm hungry. Amen. I'm here because you're thirsty. That's why I'm here. You could have stayed home this morning. And many people did. And some people have to stay home and they don't want to because they can't be here and they're still hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's why they're watching online. God says to them, and to them only He will feel, how hungry are you? Because listen, to the degree that you will be able to enjoy eternity is to the degree that you enjoy Jesus now. Do you enjoy Him? Listen to this promise, because the greatest things we can taste of God is just a foretaste. 1 John 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. That ought to fill you up right there. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. For we know when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And listen to what He says. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. What does that mean? If you long for to see Him in all His glory, then seek righteousness now. That's what He's saying. We are filled, but we always long for more. What is the more? Well, let me just read you a glimpse of it. Revelation 7:16 says, there shall be no more, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor the scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He says, if you are longing for that, if God has put that in your soul, seek to know Me now, and I will fill you up. C.S. Lewis summarized the message so well. This is a long, but it's worth it. Listen. The Christian says, creatures are born with desires, are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger, well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim, well, there's such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire, well, there's such a thing as sex. Listen. If I find myself a desire which no experience in the world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly desires were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, then I must take care, on one hand, never to despise or to be unthankful for these earthly blessings, and on the other, never mistake them for something else of which they are only a kind of copy or echo, a mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find till after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that country and to help other people do the same. So, how hungry are you? Could I say it in any more of a simple way? How in love with Jesus are you? Can I just beseech you? Can I just speak? Just allow me to be the mouthpiece of God and through His Word this morning. And listen to the Word. Listen to God's invitation for you. Isaiah 55, come everyone who thirst, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why are you labor for that which will not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me and hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. If you are hungry, there's something inside of you that you've tried to fill with everything and every single person and every action. Or if you're sitting here today, I think I just can't wait to get out there to do it. You're going to come to the same place as the prodigal, the same place as God's people did in the Old Testament. And here is the invitation. Come to Christ, and He will satisfy you. But don't miss this today. If you want to experience blessing, if you want to experience flourishing, if you want to experience shalom, don't seek it. Seek righteousness, and God will bless you. Matthew 6:33 summarizes it all. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning. I pray that Your people feel full. Full, Lord, but hungry for more. So, God, now it comes to time for our response to Your word. We respond, Lord, through making offerings of our worship, through our free will giving. Lord, we celebrate You. We come now to the tables to be satisfied by You, because it is the cross of Your Son, His body and His blood, that satisfied our spiritual debt. You set us free and put all this bounty in our account, so that we might enjoy You now and forever. And so, Lord, we come to the tables, and before we come back to those beginning beatitudes and say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. We do not come to the table in an unworthy way. God, if someone here does not know You, Lord, we ask You to keep them from the tables until they first repent and put their faith in Christ, and then say, come. God, when You work now in people's life, would they come to You now, even as they pray and repent of their sins and put their faith in You, so they may stand and worship You as their Father, their God, their friend. Move amongst us, Lord. Comfort Your people with Your goodness, with Your promises. Give Your people, Lord, even as I pray, that peace, that shalom that You promised You would give Your children, even in the midst of chaos. Usher in Your peace to them. Fill them with Your Spirit. Give them Your power, God, to live for You. Our students are going back to school, God, and it's a hard place to follow You. God, give them what they need. Fill them with Your Spirit, so they may shine their lights in a dark place. Lord, but You be worshipped and glorified now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.